to another episode of Driving with J9. Today in studio we have with us Nashreen Shalsh. She is a local racing driver and we're very happy to have her here today. Welcome, Nashreen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to see you after all these years. I remember you and your green Toyota changing tires at the Gymkhana. Tell me how you got started into racing, or with racing at least.
You know, my story is a bit boring in a way that it was never my plan. I had no plan. There was no intention. There was no end goal. I ended up at Killarney one day with drags, and somebody said, "Why don't you enter your car?" Mm. And I was like, "Hey, why not? What do I have to lose? Looks like it's fun." And I did it. Mm. I enjoyed it. And it just progressed from there.
But tell me, obviously, when you pitched up at Killarney that day, obviously you've been interested in cars a lot more than the average female. Where does that come from? Like, what or when did you know that cars is something you want to be into? Were there other siblings? Was it a parent or an uncle or someone? How did you get into cars?
So I've got three older brothers. Mm-hmm. So my influences were always a bit male orientated.
Yeah.
And it's not as if they were into racing. I remember when I was quite young, I used to watch Formula One with my brother.
Yeah.
And he used to sort of explain the ins and outs. That was when Michael Schumacher started.
Yeah.
So I found it interesting, but it's not as if I ever envisioned that I would one day be doing something, you know, in the sport. So it just sort of happened, and a lot of it is based on the people that you meet along the way. You know, yourself included. There's a lot of people that have influenced my interests and my path and sort of encouraged me to try new things, and one thing just leads to another.
So when did Gymkhana get into the senior? Because I know you started racing on track, but you were quite a big name on the Gymkhana scene, and you were one of the only females at the time. How did that start?
So I started at Killarney Drags, and it was just for fun, because if you don't have a proper drag car, you're never going to be competitive. And at the time, this was many years ago, Killarney used to, in order for you to qualify for points for the end of the day, you had to do drags and Gymkhana.
Okay.
So you would do on the drag strip, and then you would move over to the oval section, and the GTI club used to host the Gymkhana.
Mm.
And so it was part of the requirement for the day.
Okay.
And a lot of the drags cars just did it for the sake of ticking the box. And then I discovered that I'm a bit slow on the quarter mile, but I'm not bad on the Gymkhana.
Yeah.
And I discovered that it was more suited to my skill set, or lack thereof.
Mm.
So, and then I started to enjoy it, because the Gymkhana is not as much based on the power that your car has.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be a certain spec. Anybody can do it, and it's just your driving style and all of those that contribute. So I discovered that I actually really enjoy it.
Was there a certain skill set that you needed, though, to do Gymkhana?
I don't know if it's a skill set as such. It's just that it helped that if your car doesn't have as much power as the purpose-built drag cars. So it was a bit easier, because the drag cars struggled. They're not built for turning. The power it's a bit too much. They don't get as much traction through the cornering. So to have a car that was a little bit less, you know, spectacular, it helped. And having a little bit of aggression, you know, so being able to slam hard on the brakes and turn and accelerate out of corners. So it was something that was a bit easier. I don't know if it's a specific skill set as such.
But tell us about the car. What car were you using? I mean, I knew when we saw that Jade Corolla, everybody knew it was. Mm-hmm. But where did that car come from? And I mean, weren't you using that car that you were racing with as your daily as well?
It was my daily. It was never intended to be used on the track. It actually belonged to my eldest brother. Before that, he bought it out of the box, And at some point he sold it and I purchased it from him. And it was my daily drive.
Yeah.
And then I use it on the drag strip.
Mm.
Stock standard wheels, everything was stock. I wasn't very fast, but, you know, didn't really matter. And then as I got into the Gymkhana, you learn a few things. Okay, I need a little bit more power. I'm going to maybe add like a little unit chip here and do a little modifying on the engine. And then you start thinking about suspension and sort of things.
Mm.
And as you progress, it becomes, you do little things here and there, and it becomes less comfortable to use it as your daily drive, a little bit less practical. And eventually you get to a point where the car's so modified for your racing that it's not really practical to use it to get to work every day.
Yeah. Okay, I know what it was, but our listeners don't know. So please tell us what your model, what it was.
So at the time, it was a 1994 Toyota Corolla. It's the 180i and bubble shape.
Yeah.
And it was just a stock standard 7AFE 180i motor that was in there back then.
There was nothing standard about that car. But anyway, so then I think you stopped participating for a while because I didn't see you on the scene. What happened in between? Because now you're back at Kilani and you're now racing in the supercar series.
Yes.
Tell me how that went from almost 2 decades ago to where you are now again. What's happened in between and what made you get back into racing?
So from drags, I used to do the Gymkhanas at Kilani's, which was part of the drag competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered that there was a Gymkhana series outside of Kilani as well, which was with the Witzenberg Motor Club.
Yes.
And those were purpose-built Gymkhanas. They're a rally club, so their Gymkhanas are actually very rally-orientated.
Yeah.
You need a co-driver and all of that, and it was proper events. So then I started doing those. I did that for a number of years, and that was fantastic
because
they went to venues all over the place, all over the Western Cape. We went to Ceres and to Wolseley and to all these places, and the famous one, the one that everybody really enjoyed doing, was the one at Club Mykonos in Langebaan.
Mm.
So those were nice Gymkhanas. I did that for quite a while. And then I was still sort of dabbling a bit in Kilani drags. At that point, the Gymkhana section stopped being part of the competition. And then I found myself getting involved in short circuit racing.
Yeah.
On the oval side. And then I had a little go-kart, 125cc six-speed shifter. I did that for a short while as well. And at the same time, I was doing some indoor karting league, some racing on the indoor karting scene.
Yeah.
And then in 2015, I got asked if I would like to join the supercar series on the main circuit.
Yes.
And that was part of the WPMC initiative, where they had two cars that they were using for development drivers. They were sponsored by the Lotto at the time.
Yes.
And I was invited to come and try out to be one of the drivers. And that's how I got into supercars back then.
That's so nice. Is Gymkhana still as big as what it was back then? I mean, those were events that you wanted to attend, that spectators wanted to attend. Is it still as big now? I mean, does the series still happen?
So the Witzenberg Motor Club, they don't host the Gymkhanas the same way they did before.
Okay.
I know that. So now, and I haven't done any of the newer Gymkhanas. So currently, Abdul runs some Gymkhanas at Kilani.
Okay.
And that's Race for Change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's changed a little bit in terms of the layouts and things and the type of cars that participate.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different to the Gymkhanas that I used to do back then.
So then how long were you racing in the Formula Series?
In the supercars.
In the supercars, yes.
I started in 2015.
Yeah.
And I raced up until 2019. And then COVID happened in 2020.
Yes.
And so that disrupted the racing in a big way. So then I sold my supercar in 2020.
Okay. And so now tell us how we got back to seeing you on track again.
So, yeah, so it was actually the first time since I started racing for many, many years that I actually wasn't doing anything motorsport related. So that was a break that I took from 2020. And then last year, in roundabout August, I got a phone call and I got asked whether I would like to come back to supercars.
Okay.
And Lime Property Management, they had purchased, I think, 5 supercars.
Okay.
And they were getting back. They were getting the formula back on track, and they wanted to know if I wanted to race one of their cars.
Okay.
Obviously, opportunity. I said, I'd love to. So I raced the last 3 races last year, which was August, September, and November.
Yeah. So the series now, when have you started racing? When can we see you race again? Is it national? Is it only regional? How often are we going to see you racing on track?
So it's a club. It's a club championship. Okay. So it's local. It's local to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. We might have one away race.
Okay.
In PE this year. We're hoping to be able to make it happen. Otherwise, it's generally speaking, it's once a month. Mm-hmm. So we did 2 races in February, and the next race is the 12th of April.
Okay. Nice. We'll definitely come and watch you. But tell me, I think you're very hands-on. I know, you, like I said, you would change your own tires. You probably serviced your own car. Does it help to be that hands-on if you want to get into racing? I think you kind of have to be if you want to be involved in motorsport.
I would say it's definitely been an advantage to me, because you need to show that you're also willing to do the work and get your hands dirty. And I believe that you can't always depend on somebody else to do everything for you. I think some people are fortunate in terms of they come with the whole crew. You know, maybe it's their family, it's their friends, and their crew sort of sees to all their needs and things. But it also does help you as a driver to have a little bit of understanding of how the things work and what you like and what you don't like. So it, in my case, it helps. But it's also circumstantial, because when I started off, I didn't come with family. I didn't come with anybody that was helping me. So I was sort of forced to be able to do things myself.
Yeah.
And especially as a female, I don't think you can't be a damsel in distress. You need to be able to show that you're willing to also contribute.
Yeah.
You know, to the process.
Talking about being a female in motorsport, it's still a very male dominated genre. And even though we're seeing more women racing and in all, you know, like sections of motorsport, it's still very male dominated. What was it like getting into racing all those years ago compared to now? Are men still intimidated by women? Because I don't think women are intimidated by men on the track. But I still think it's the other way around, that, or if they're not intimidated, they'll at least think, oh, it's a girl, I can drive faster than her, kind of a thing. Is that mentality still around? And what was it like then compared to now?
I don't think it's an intimidation thing. I think sometimes it's more, there's a little bit of ego involved in terms of, I really don't want to lose to a girl. So they're going to maybe try a little bit harder. They're going to close that door a little bit. But it doesn't affect me in a negative way at all. I think that if I line up with somebody and I'm doing a race, it bothers them to lose a lot more than it bothers me.
Yeah.
And I think that gives me a bit of an advantage, because I have less to lose. You know, so yeah, I don't think it really. And you know, once the helmet goes on and once you're racing, I don't think it really matters whether you're male or female inside the car.
Do you get treated the same? Is there a level of equal respect on the grid, at least?
Yes and no. So it's a bit of a catch-22 because you respect is earned.
Mm.
So you need to earn it.
Yeah.
And I think as a female, you stand out a little bit more. And also the... So in my case, I came to the track by myself.
Mm.
I didn't have anybody helping me.
Yeah.
So as a female, you are more approachable. If I have a problem, I had 10 guys coming up to me and asking me if they can help.
Yeah.
So that was the advantages of it, that people were a lot more willing to help you because you're just not one of the many guys that are there. You stand out a bit more. So people were they were very willing to assist, and I appreciate that. And I made a lot of contacts, a lot of friends, a lot of I got a lot of assistance as a result as well.
What I wanted to know was, if these are listeners, because I get a lot of questions, I get a lot of emails from parents. My son or daughter's really into cars, they want to race. How can I get them into racing? I get that question a lot. And I think because I don't have experience there, I can't always answer it. So what advice do you have to parents or youngsters who want to get into racing?
It's a difficult question for me because I didn't start off like that. I didn't start off telling my parents I'd like to race, and then these are the steps that I took. I just, you know, I was already grown up, and I ended up at the racetrack, and things just one thing led to another.
Yes.
So a lot of the kids that are into racing, they're fortunate in terms of there's some racing pedigree in that family. They have parents and grandparents, and they grew up at the track, so for them it's natural, and they immediately have that resources available to them. They, you know, they don't lack for any support and things like that. If you are just, you know, a normal kid, you don't have any family, you don't have any contacts, I don't think in Cape Town it's a case of there's like a racing club. I don't think there's development clubs you can go to. If somebody asked me for advice, I would say I would maybe start off with some karting. Maybe just go to the local, I think we have two of them in Cape Town, just go to the local karting track and see if you like it. See if it's something that you would maybe want to do. And then if you really want to take it further from there, you can then maybe go to Kilani's karting track and maybe find out from them you'd like to get started.
Yeah.
What are the classes that you can do? What are the options? Is there a cart you can rent? Do you need to, you know, what are the steps that you can maybe take?
Okay. And then what makes a good racing driver, regardless if you're a man or a woman?
It's a bit debatable. So I think to race well, you need to be a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
You need to have that aggression, but to be able to control it, you can't just see, you know, have the red mist come over you and have disregard for the consequences. So it's also, yeah, this is, some people are more naturally skilled than others.
Yeah.
So, and also it's, and I lack in this department. I think my sense of self-preservation is a bit too high. So maybe I break a little bit, you know, a little bit earlier because you need that. You need the control.
Yeah.
And you need the confidence in the car. So if you're happy that your car is going to do what you need it to do, it's going to brake where you need to brake, it's going to do all of that. So that's a big part of it, that you're happy that your car is, you have that confidence that your car is going to do what it needs to do. Like I said, you need to have a little bit of aggression.
Yeah.
Some people, and you need to be brave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, my weakness maybe is that my self-preservation is maybe a bit too high.
But also I think that also comes with experience because... And also, the other thing is racing is expensive. And I think previously, yes, now you sponsored and you're in a series. But before, everything is for your own pocket.
Yeah, no, it is expensive. But it's also, it depends on your intention. If you're a youngster that wants to make some sort of career out of it. That's a bit different to somebody that says, I just want to go to the track on weekends and maybe have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And that, I would think the difference would be maybe the age. An older person would be, I just want to go, you know, I want to go into the drag strip and do drags with my car.
Yeah.
So it's expensive. The what helps a lot is if you're in that latter category where you are just somebody that says, you know what, I want to go do some drags on weekends. If you are able to, if you're mechanically inclined and you're able to look after the car yourself in that regard, that's a massive expense that you you don't have to pay. In my case, the one disadvantage was that I've always needed a mechanic. So I've always needed somebody to assist me with that regard. So then you need to pay for it. And that's where a lot of my expense came
from. Okay, so tell me about the series. What are you racing now? What kind of car is it? What's under the bonnet? And how does this work, being in a series, compared to when you were racing for your own bull?
So at the moment, I'm racing in the Caltron Supercar Formula Series. So that is, and the car that I'm currently driving, it's also a Lime Property Management car. So that's a sponsored vehicle. And then I also have a sponsor, which is VCIB.
Okay.
They're an insurance company in Johannesburg, and they sponsor some of the expenses. So that's helped me out a lot. So but it's not my car. I'm just driving and having some fun in the process.
Tell us about the specs of your car that you're racing.
Okay, so for the Caltron Supercars, it's an opal and it's an opal Astra body. It's a pipe car, it's a spec series, so it's just a sashi with a fiberglass body over it. It's a 2-liter 8-valve engine. Back in the day, the series was created by Owen Ashley, and it was the boss motor that was in there. So it's spec motoring, so it is, everything is according to the requirements. Everybody's car is the same in terms of power and those things. It's just maybe the suspension setup that you can make a little bit more aggressive if you're feeling a bit braver. And then our power, we limited to a maximum power of 135 kilowatts and 226 newton meters.
Oh, wow. And then how many other people are on the grid with you for this series?
So on the grid, we generally have about 10 to 12 cars, and then we share the grid with the V8 Master Series on race day.
Obviously, you don't do this every single day. Is there a day job? How does motorsport fit into your normal life?
So, yes, I do have a normal 9-to-5 job that also needs to pay the bills. So we race once a month, so, and then there's obviously some race prep prior to that. So the racing is after hours, it's weekends, it's something that you do in addition to your normal 9-to-5.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself progressing from here? Because you've always been into cars, well, since you started. Do you see yourself progressing into something else? Or is this it? Do you want to do more one day?
So at the moment, I don't have any ambitions of going beyond club formulas and championships. I think if you do say you want to go do national events and things, that's where the big money starts. So if I only ever do club championships from now onwards as well, I'm happy with it.
Because I think for you it's more about the passion and like the adrenaline more so than doing it for money. And I think that makes a big difference as well.
No, for sure. I mean, so I think most of us that race at this level, we do it because we enjoy it. We do it for the passion. And a lot of the people that you do it with are people that you started with
you know,
back in the drags 20-odd years ago. And they've also progressed. They also started in doing drags and doing this and that, and they've progressed to main circuit, and some of them are doing nationals and some of them are not. So it really is, I love Kilani. Kilani's home.
Yeah. You
know, and the people, they are family.
Mm.
And a lot of them have been on this journey with you. A lot of them have played a role in some way or another.
That's true. Okay, when you're not racing on the track, what are you driving on the road? And do you service your own car?
So, when I'm not racing, my daily drive is a Hyundai i30. I don't service it myself because I take it for my annual service
at
the dealership. So I don't have any worries there. I still have my Toyota, the love of my life.
Yes.
She's parked in the garage at home at the moment. Mm. So I haven't raced her for a long time. But she's still there. She's waiting for me to take her out of retirement one of these days.
Okay, you're calling it a she, so she must have a name. And tell us about that.
So her name is Jade.
And that was your Fordham name, right?
It was my Fordham name
in
as
the
well.
Car scene,
Back in the day, we used to, our motorsport discussions used to be on the forums, the car forums. And my nick was Jade, which was also what my car's name was.
Yeah.
It originally started because it's a metallic jade color, the Toyota color. And it's quite funny because when I race go-karts, I sprayed it metallic jade. Mm. And my supercar was metallic jade as well.
Oh, cool. Thanks so much for coming in, Nashin. It was great to see you and great to learn more about you and also your journey in motorsport. We wish you all the well. Thank you for everything. And we hope you enjoyed this episode with us.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm a huge fan. I've been following your career for many, many years. It really is a privilege to be sitting here chatting to you.
Oh, thank you, Nashin. That's it for today. And join us next time for the next episode of Diving with J9.